Housatonic Valley Regional High School made a very big decision along with the Board of Education last night. And with us, I do believe, have Lisa Carter. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning, Marshall. How are you?
I'm fine. Ian, are you there?
Yes, Marshall, good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling back, because it's been a weird morning around here. There's been some technical difficulties. I didn't know if it was on my end or your end, but thanks. Thanks for calling back. And Lisa, thanks also for getting up and joining us early this morning. Well, a decision was made last night at the meeting last night. And first, I guess I'll speak to you, Lisa, about the decision that was made. You know, yesterday morning, I compiled the stats every day from the state of Connecticut. And over the past week, I really have been alarmed by what I've seen with the numbers of new cases that have shown up in our area, not only in our area, the whole state. There's only five towns in the state that are not considered as critical. One of them is Canaan Falls Village. But it's been alarming. But yesterday was the most alarming at all. So I wasn't a little surprised when you went into a meeting. What happened at that meeting and what decision was made at that meeting?
Well, thank you for having me on this morning, Marshall. And the meeting was the result of a couple days of discussion and very much a collaborative effort among me, Mr. Strever, Mr. Sheevy, and the high school leadership team. As we look at the rising numbers in the community, certainly, but the most important thing to us is how does that help to inform what's happening in the schools. And we look at each school in a highly contextualized situation. So how, when we have a positive case, how can we quickly and easily identify who the contacts are so we can isolate those cases as quickly as possible and hopefully continue school and have those who have been exposed seek care and find safety as quickly as possible. And what we found after conversation with Mr. Sheebe, who we thank for doing so much of the contact tracing, was it was becoming more difficult to accurately trace back to who all the contacts were, which made us worried. In addition, what we were finding was parents were starting to keep more students home in reaction both to what was happening in the community and to what we were reporting. We had a slight uptick in cases in the high school. And so we were finding that the situation in the classroom was becoming more unbalanced and with more kids zooming in, if you will, and fewer students actually in person in the classroom, making it a little bit more of a contrived educational situation. So based on all of that, and like I said, together with all of those people, we came to the Board of Ed last night and recommended that we go switch to remote learning from December 7th through January 19th.
All right. With that decision made yesterday, I'm going to go over to Ian and do the educational part in just a minute. But I look at your plans, what you put into effect for what's happening right now in the school district, and it all seems to be working extremely well. The big difference right now, what we're undergoing, is it's a very interesting thing to look at. The spread is not coming from the school out to the community. The spread, which you have really no control over, is coming from the community into the schools. Am I reading that right?
You are reading that absolutely correctly. Our schools have been very safe thus far due to the mitigation strategies that we've put in place and that the principals, teachers, and students have done so well to carry out throughout the school day.
All right. Ian, so,
and Marshall, like, we've had questions about things like testing and so forth, and some schools and universities are able to conduct really diligent contact tracing and thorough contact tracing where they know exactly where the students are and they don't leave the campus or they don't leave the school facility. We don't have that luxury. And so once students leave our building, we really don't have much control over where they go. And then when you attempt to conduct contact tracing, it becomes very difficult to know, especially over a holiday break when students are back from universities and students for seniors and juniors, they might be socializing with them and trying to get them to recall exactly where they were and with whom and for how long becomes really tricky. And in many cases, students, sort of legitimately forget how long they were with somebody or, oh, yes, this person was in close contact with me. And then, you kind of have to restart your contact tracing, and that's just really a difficult process to say that you're doing it really as securely as you need to be.
Well, you can't just have one person who did, along with the other duties they have, do that. Now, along the education point, what Lisa was talking about the fact that so many parents now are going to distance learning anyway, explain to people really how that does affect the education, not only for the students, but also for the teacher in the classroom, and that has to now deal with, right now, a dwindling number of in-school students and a growing number of out-of-school students.
Yes. At the high school, it is a very, very different phenomenon than it is in any elementary school. And in most elementary schools, it's fairly straightforward to cohort students by their grade. Because you have mixed courses at the high school, you'll have students of varying grades in elective courses and math courses and so on and so forth. It becomes difficult to say that this grade is going to be in on a certain day or not. So, consequently, when we went to the hybrid, although it was fairly straightforward at first, there still are a lot of machinations that teachers have to go through in order to conduct a successful lesson. So if you walked into a typical classroom, you would see many teachers with multiple computers set up, as well as their screen displays in the front of the room, so that they're delivering instruction to the students who are there in person, and then they're also attending to the students who are online. So there's a lot of back and forth. And it really is a credit to our educators that they're doing such a phenomenal job with that, because there is a lot of back and forth and juggling different students at different times. And so that does become really difficult to do, especially when we have students, and the number now is approaching 25% of our population that has opted for remote learning. And it hasn't always been straightforward communication from the parents. Sometimes we'll have a student or a parent who decides that a student should go to remote learning, and we don't have a lot of notice on that. So while we would like a little more notice and a little more ability to prepare, sometimes that student all of a sudden that day decides that they're going to go to distance learning, and the teacher sort of finds that out as the class is starting. So those kinds of things make it really difficult to do. And just as the contact tracing is a little bit more challenging with high school students because they're more social and they tend to have a little bit more freedom, the flip side of that is that we can also rely on high school students to be a little bit more adept at making the shift to remote learning and doing their learning online. They're a lot more deft at a lot of the technology. They communicate a little bit better. And so the advantage to going to this right now is, again, with 25% of our population opting for this, we also can shift everybody into one cohort. So in the past, we had two cohorts, a group that was in on Monday and Tuesday and a group that was in on Thursday and Friday. Now we're able to bring all of those students back together for one whole class experience, and it's a more unified kind of uniform experience, but it also allows us to have three class periods per week, whereas for some students it felt like more of a one-day-a-week experience or one-and-a-half-day-a-week experience in the hybrid model.
It must put a lot of pressure not only on you as a principal and the administration at the high school and the staff, but also the pressure that is put on the students. I think it's amazing the way your staff and students seem to be handling this and trying to have it affect their education as little as possible.
Yeah, and I think we are reaching a point where it does feel like, especially for this period until January 19th, it's an opportunity for us to see if we can shift to this model to take better advantage of the technology. And I think another huge difference from the spring and from even earlier this year is that our teachers have grown just exponentially in terms of their technological use. A lot of our professional development is focused on, you know, learning new apps and supporting resources, not just Google Classroom, but frankly a slew of different new apps that have come on the marketplace that are really fantastic for education. And the other thing that really has helped us is the education and learning that we've done about social and emotional well-being that is really going to be a focus for us during this next stretch of time, because we're just seeing a lot of strain on both teachers and students, and then really the support staff as well, because it has been a lot to juggle and manage. And so we're going to make a concerted effort over the next month and a half, 6 weeks or so, to reach out to students on a more individual basis and have more points of contact with them. And I think that's something that we can do as a small school that many of the larger schools can't do. And that's something that we've tried to stress throughout this, is we do have the capacity to make really strong connections with students, and that's always been our strength, and we want to keep doing that.
All right. Now, Lisa, we'll go back to you for just a second here. And picking the date later in January, I think is a really smart decision that you and the board has made, simply because that'll give enough time for Christmas to be taken into the effect along with Thanksgiving. And maybe by then, the community numbers will start to settle down and go down.
That is certainly our hope, although we will continue to monitor both the community at large and the students and staff individually. Even though we'll be switching to distance learning, we will expect that when positive COVID cases pop up in our high school community, that they continue to report, all individuals continue to report that information to us, so we can continue to track and monitor that data. So we'll look very closely at that data, as well as what's happening in the community, and work with, as we have been, the Torrington Area Health District and our medical advisor to determine that, in fact, it is safe for us to return. But the expectation, and we're following suit of many other schools in Connecticut, the expectation is that by the 19th, we hopefully have a situation where we're able to come back in person.
Well, once again, I think that everybody in Region 1 is doing a great job. Once again, this announcement is strictly for Housatonic Valley Regional High Schools. The elementary schools will remain operating the way they are right now. Ian and Lisa, keep up the great work. I know what a strenuous and tough year this is, but really, I think so far your stewardship of the education of Region 1 students at the high school has been outstanding. And hey, I want you guys to have a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday, and of course, keep us informed as things go on.
Marshall, thank you so much for having us, all the best wishes to you for a wonderful holiday season, and stay healthy.
All right, you too, Ian, and we'll speak to you guys, obviously, over the next couple of weeks. Take care.
All right, thanks, Marshall. You too. Bye.
Ian Striver, who is the principal at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and Lisa Carter, who is the superintendent in Region 1 this morning.